So the learning today should be as chos ilanishmas adir chaver chaim alaz ben shemshinariyeh, and it should also be as chos for fuah shlema chaim doiv ben minarachol chanalei b'shein derachol and abadati ben peril, as well as as chos for all those in a makom sakana in Eretz Yisrael and the soldiers risking their lives to protect it. So I wanted to do this summer a sefer that I quoted from several times in the past. It's called Olam Hamidos, if you can see it, but it's a very nice sefer, very easy read. And he has small chapters discussing different midos and practical advice on how we can apply it to ourselves. So I wanted to start off with something light, something easy, something that's not too heavy for us to digest. And that is the topic of happiness, of simcha. And not just being b'simcha, but why being b'simcha is so important in our lives, in living a Torah life. Why is simcha so important? You would think, okay, I do my obligations. Why does it matter, the mood that I'm in? Why does it matter when I'm listening to a shiur? Why does it matter when I'm davening? Why does it matter when I'm interacting with my family? What's the difference of my mood? So we're going to see today that simcha is very important in terms of leading a Torah lifestyle. So there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, David HaMelech says, "Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha," that you should serve Hashem with simcha. Bow the front of Bernana, come in front of him with song. And there's another pasuk in Kisavai by the Taichacha. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why is this curse? Why are these curses coming upon you? Takas asher lo yavadeto es Hashem Elokecha. Because you didn't serve Hashem your God, with goodness in heart, when Meiroiv Kol, when everything was abundant, meaning that you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. You didn't have simcha. So it seems that simcha is a very important component in a person's avodas Hashem. So there's a Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told his Talmidim, he said, go out and figure out which is the proper path that a person should cling to, meaning what is the best midah that a person should try to take upon himself? So his Talmidim went out and they came back with different answers. So Rebbe Elazar said, Ayin Toiva, that the best midah that a person can have is to have a good eye, to look at things with a good eye. Rebbe Yeshua said, Chaver Toiv, to be a good friend. Rebbe Yossi says, to be Shachin Toiv, to be a good neighbor. And Rav Shimon said, "Arayas someone who sees the future, someone who anticipates the outcome of his actions." And then finally, Rebbe Elazar ben Arach. Rebbe Elazar ben Arach said to his Rebbe, Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai, he said, "Leiv toiv, to have a good heart." Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his Talmidim that "Raya ani amar lehem, raya ani es divrei Elazar ben Arach mi divreichem," that I see the merit of Rebbe Elazar ben Arach's advice more than all of yours, Shabbat Devar of Devreichem, because included in everything that you suggested is his suggestion. If you have a Lev Toiv, then you're going to have an Ayin Toiv. If you have a Lev Toiv, you're going to be a good friend. You're going to be a good neighbor. You're going to anticipate the future. Happiness, Lev Toiv, having a good heart, being happy, and which the Tiferes Yisrael says that that's what Lev Toiv means. Lev Toiv means to be happy and ready to do chesed for others. So suddenly everything else seems to fall into place. It all starts, the Mishnah is saying, with simcha, and suddenly a person has simcha in his heart. And now you're ready to do chesed for others. Your mind becomes sharper somehow. You're more receptive, and you become like a spring of water that's ready to grow.
What? What?
So,
No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. We're done.
She just has her daughter.
got it. Okay. So the Reb, yeah, Shmuel Yaakov Sofer explains the power of happiness. He says like this. He says that in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, "Batzar herchavta li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you relieved me, Batzar, when I was in distress." What does that mean? Let's think about what happens when a person is distressed. Let's take an example of Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, we're trying to get the house ready for Shabbos. Maybe we're doing some last-minute cooking. Maybe we're trying to get our clothes ready. We're trying to put on makeup. We're trying to do our last-minute preparations. And of course, your husband's pulling at you, and your kids are pulling at you, and we have no time, because we're under the gun, we're under stress. When we're stressed, we can't deal with life's challenges. It's a lot of stress. It's something that we are not able to focus on others. We're not able to deal with other people's problems when we're under stress. But when you're happy, even if you're in a stressful situation. But if you're happy, then suddenly, when you're in a happier mood, so suddenly you have a certain energy. Your mind becomes more relaxed. Your mind is broadened, and suddenly you're able to deal with other people's problems if you have a simcha that comes up. So before the simcha, as you're getting ready, it's very stressful. But when you're at the simcha, what happens? Something goes wrong? Okay, it went wrong. You know what? It's still a simcha. It's still a wonderful time. It's a wonderful event. And the show must go on, and we sort of push it to the side. So what we're seeing is that when a person is sad, you have this tunnel vision where you don't see others. Not only do you not see others, but you can't even see other people's, you can't see problems outside of your own. Take an extreme example, someone who's depressed. Every little problem that someone has when they're depressed is like the biggest issue in the world. Getting out of bed, they don't want to get out of bed. Go to work. They don't want to go to work. Every little problem is a major, major event in their life. And they become so self-absorbed that they have this tunnel vision that the world only includes him. But when a person is happy, suddenly you have this harchava, you have this width, your mind is broadened, you're able to see and care about others. So Zakt Reb Seifer, this is what David HaMelech said. Batsar, when I was in distress and I had tunnel vision and I wasn't able to deal with the problems around me, I wasn't able to deal with my husband and my kids, Haftali, you widened it, you broadened it for me. You suddenly put me in a good mood, Hashem, and you allowed me to focus on the problems of others and not just be self-absorbed. So the essence of being a caring person is you have to be besimcha. If you're not besimcha, then you can't care about others because by definition, you're going to be absorbed, self-absorbed. You're going to be jealous and angry and distressed and anxious. The only way to get out of it is simcha. So simcha is the essence of essentially every other midah. If we want to be good, God-fearing Jews, we have to be besimcha. So it's possible that those guys, the Na Na Nachman guys, and the Thank You Hashem people, they figured something out that we need to emulate, which is that we do need to be besimcha in order to be Oivdei Hashem. There's a fascinating Gemara in Tainus. This is Gemara in Daf of Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us that Eliyahu HaNavi went with Rev Broika to the marketplace, and he pointed out two people, and he said to Rev Broika, "Those two people that you see over there, they're going to Olam Haba." So Rev Broika obviously has to get the story. Who are these guys that they're getting Olam Haba? So he goes over to them, and he says, "What do you do?" And they answered, "We're comedians. We cheer up people that are depressed. Additionally, whenever we see two people fighting, we help them make up. So we are batchanim. We're jokers. We're comedians. We cheer people up." For this mitzvah alone, they're going to Olam Haba. You see how special this mitzvah is. Now, Rashi says it wasn't just that they made other people happy, they were happy themselves. And Rev Ephraim Majeski points out that you see this with comedians. If you look at comedians today, many comedians, unfortunately, are very unhappy, are very unhappy people. They are on drugs, a lot of them. They're alcoholics. And unfortunately, we see some of them commit suicide because they're very unhappy. And there's examples of this in the news. I don't need to go into detail on it. I'm sure you've heard. The point is that although they're making other people happy, they're not happy themselves. The difference here, what Rashi's talking about, is that they were happy themselves. When they're happy themselves, yes. If you're not happy, you can make a joke and make other people laugh, but that they're not going to feel it in a genuine way. But when you're mamish besimcha, when you're really happy, then you can not only lift your own spirit, but you can lift the spirit of others through that positivity. And people are drawn to a happy person like a magnet. We find this example many times when someone, when you see people laughing, let's say you're in the bungalow. Or you're coming out of shul and you see a few women gathered around and they're laughing. What's the first question that you want to know? What was the joke, right? You want to be in on the joke. You see people being happy, you want to be part of that chevra. You want to be part of that group. People are drawn to people that are happy. If you see a bunch of people sitting around crying, that's not really where you want to go. That's a circle. You're like, I'm good. I'll avoid it. I'll go down the street, unless you have to. So, but when you see people with simcha, I want to be with simcha too. There's a sense of I want in. So that's the idea of simcha. Simcha, when there's true happiness, it rubs off on others and it allows us to be makariv of other people. So if you want to foster a friendship with others and you want to really be caring, you have to work on this midah. And it's not just something that's going to come. We think, okay, so what is it going to take for me to be happy? So I have a checklist. Hashem, I have a checklist, and by Shmoneh Esrei, I'm going to ask you to check off my checklist. I want money, and I want health, and I want I don't want trouble with my kids. I want my kids to do well in school. I want them to do well in camp, right? All of the checklist items that we have. We say, okay, if we get those items, then we'll be happy. But the truth is that we're going to see in a minute, that's not what makes true happiness. True happiness has to come from within. It's a midah that we have to work on. It's an avodah. And sometimes it's like any avodah, it's like any yetzara. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. There are people that are more naturally happy, and then there are people that have to work on it. But the point is that it's an avodah like anything else. It's avodas Hashem. And so if you are working on cheering yourself up, you're not just trying to mentally, it's not just mental health, it's a mitzvah. It's actually a mitzvah to be besimcha. Because as we're saying now, it allows you to do proper avodas Hashem, and it allows you to care about others. And so therefore, sometimes when we're not feeling it, when we're just not in the good, we're not in a good mood, and our kids come over, our husband wants to talk to us, or we have to interact with some other friend or relative, if we can motivate ourselves to be besimcha for that interaction, we are actually doing a mitzvah, more than just a nice thing to do. So what is it going to take to be happy? So let's look at examples of people. We find people in this world that are running after happiness, but very few people actually have it. So you take a young, let's say you take a young person who just joined the job force, and he's a workaholic. So you ask him, why exactly are you working very hard? So he's going to answer you, I want to make a lot of money. Okay, you want to make a lot of money. Why do you want to make a lot of money? Because I want a big house, and I want a nice car, and I want to be able to afford vacations. Okay, why exactly do you need those things? And he'll answer you, because ultimately that's happiness. I want those things so that I'll be happy. So all his hard work is really for the purpose of achieving happiness. But the problem is that it's a pity, because even if he manages, we know this, he manages to earn all that money, and he gets the house, and he gets the car, and he gets the vacations, he's still not going to be happy, because this is a famous medrash that I'm sure you've all heard, which is Yesh Loi Maneh Ratzon Asayim, that Hashem created the world. That if we have 100, we want 200. If we have 200, we want 400. No matter how much money a person earned, there's no amount of money that isn't ever enough. And you see this on a daily basis. I don't know how many of you follow sports, but you see this because the numbers in sports, in terms of like earning a contract, go up and up and up. There's never an amount of money where someone says, yeah, you know what? 500 million is enough. I'm good. I'm never going to get to spend $500 million. My kids won't spend that money. My grandkids might get to use some of that money even. And so I'm good. Look at someone like Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. These are very wealthy people. They don't stop working, because at the end of the day, there's a lack of satisfaction that God put into the Bria, God put into nature, that you're not going to be satisfied. So you have people their whole life, they are running, they are chasing, they're
Wow,
working,
tremendous.
thinking that they're going to be satisfied, but ultimately they're not satisfied. And they'll never actually be satisfied by getting it, meaning it's not achieving it that's going to actually make you happy. So what's the reason why someone, what's he wants to know, the Olam HaMidos here wants to know, what's the reason why Yesh Loi Maneh Ratzon Asayim? Let's get to the bottom, let's get to the crux of the issue. Why, when someone has 100, does he want 200? So the answer is that what drove you to get 100? You had a craving, you had some greed, you had a desire for money. That desire doesn't go away once you achieve your goal. You achieve your goal, now you set a new goal. That's the way we work. We always work when we need motivation. So once we achieve our goal of, people have this goal of my first million. I want to make my first million. But after you make your first million, so that's it. Life ends. Life doesn't end. You need new motivation. I got to make my second million. I got to make my third million. So Yesh Loi Maneh Ratzon Asayim is the same hunger, the same motivation that got you to the 100 is still there after you get the 100, and therefore it's going to push you to remain hungry for money. You never really needed the 100. That's the key, is it wasn't the 100 that was going to make you happy, but you didn't realize it. You thought, I see someone else has money. He seems pretty happy to me. It looks like that'll make me happy, so I want that. But if you stop and you realize that it's not the 100 that's going to make you happy, because when you get it, you're not done. Now you're going to want more and more and more. So we have to stop and say, okay, so what is it that the happiness is? The happiness is you have to look inside in your heart, and you have to recognize getting 100, getting 1 million, whatever the number is that we're working and we're running after, that's not going to bring true happiness. True happiness has to come from within. True happiness has to come from connecting with others, because connecting with others is how we do our true avodas Hashem. And the problem is that people never stop in their rush, we're like a bunch of gerbils running on the wheel, on the hamster wheel, that we're just running, running, running. We never stop to ask ourselves, after 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, what did I do for myself? Okay, I put in all this effort. I spent all this time going to work, trying to get these things. Did it really make me happy? Am I happier now? You look back. Okay, we're working now, some of us 20 years in the workforce, 25 years in the workforce. Are we happier now than when we started? We certainly have more money. Are we happy? We're making more money, hopefully. Are we happier now? What was the purpose of this? And maybe it's not the money that's going to drive the happiness, but rather, would life be more enjoyable if I took a little less time focusing on running after those material pleasures and looking at the things I do have, time with my family, time spent helping others? That's the true accomplishment in this world. And we have those tools, and that's why we say, Eizeh u'asher ha'sameach b'chelkai, because what's going to make you rich? We think. I'm going to tell you, if someone's struggling financially, it's easy for me to say, you know what, be happy with what you have, but I can't. It's daigus. It's a lot of worry. When someone is struggling financially, there's a lot of worries, and it's a daily suffering that a person goes through. So it's not here for me to poo-poo it and say, you know what, don't worry, you can be happy. But certainly the tools to be happy are available to everybody. Because there are things that we have to be thankful for. We should be thankful first and foremost. I always tell the men this, that we won the real lottery. We want to win the lottery, the Mega Millions, but really we won the most important lottery in life, which is that God picked us to be Jews. We could have easily been born in North Carolina, grown up and been a Catholic or a Baptist, and we would never have known the difference. We won the real lottery. We're Jews today, and we have a Chelek in Olam Haba, and we have Torah, and we have mitzvahs. So we really won the lottery that counts, and that's something to be thankful for. And hopefully we have our health, and hopefully we have our children, and hopefully we have our grandchildren, and we have parnasa, and we have spouses, so we have so much to be happy for. People who are wealthy are not happier than people that are less wealthy, because what we're seeing is that it's not the money that's going to make us happy. That is a drive. That's a motivation. It's something that we put in the mirror, and not in the mirror. It's something we put in the windshield as a goal, like on a map, that we're driving towards happiness. How are we going to get there? I make my first million, I'm going to be happy. But if we stop and we realize, in the car with you are all the tools you need to be happy right now. What are you driving there for? You don't need to get there to be happy. Look in the car, turn around. Your spouse is there, your children are there, your parnasa is there, your health is there. You have so much in the car with you to be happy. And you have the tools to live a life of Torah, support a life of Torah, do mitzvahs, help others. And so that should put us in a frame of mind to be besimcha. So once we realize that, it really doesn't matter how much money you have. Look around, look at the tools you have. If not, then no matter how much money you have, you're always going to feel empty and unhappy. So we should use this. We should stop and sort of smell the roses and realize that Baruch Hashem, we have so much to be thankful for. Being thankful to Hashem will bring about simcha. Simcha will allow us to not focus on ourselves, not be self-absorbed, but focus on others. I don't think anything's going to change on Erev Shabbos when you're trying to do your makeup. That's still going to be a stressful time. There's nothing I can do about that. But at other times, hopefully you can relax a little bit, be a little less anxious, be a little happy, connect with others. And that is really the essence of living a life of Torah. Thank you all for listening. Have a great day.